Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. As the population ages, more and more attention is given to health issues that affect older Americans. There are plenty of them, from aches and pains to failing eyesight to issues of failing memory. Health professionals are always looking for answers to questions raised by these and other issues. Turns out the folks over at SLU Care have come up with a simple assessment program that gives doctors and patients a head start on diagnosis and treatment. Joining us in studio to discuss that and other things is SLU Care geriatrician and director of geriatrics at the St. Louis University School of Medicine, Dr. John Morley. Doctor, great to have you with us once
again. Hi, Don. Great to be back.
Let's get right into this rapid geriatric assessment program you've got going. It sounds most interesting.
So what we've done is we've established a very quick way that a physician or any health professional can examine a person to see if they've got some of the major things that happen to us as we get older. What happens is we tend to get more frail, and so there's a quick frailty screen. We lose muscle mass. That's called sarcopenia, so there's a sarcopenic screen. They take about 15 seconds each. We've got to watch out for people who are starting to get anorectic and losing weight because, as we've talked about before on this program, weight loss over the age of 65 is really bad for you. You don't want to be fat, but you would like not to lose weight as you get older. And then the last piece, which takes a little longer, is the rapid cognitive screen, which checks whether or not you're thinking well. And we've been using this in the community. All of these screens have been validated now in between 3 to 6 continents. In other words, all over the world, they're working really well. They were developed at St. Louis University, and in places like Singapore, they're starting to use this in the community to a large extent. We've done well over 9,000 people in the last year, so we're doing a lot of screening. But there are a lot of older people who need screening. And it's important to recognize that we're finding in people 80 and over about 40%, so it's 4 out of 10, are actually having some problems thinking. And many of these problems turn out to be fixable. These are not people who've got Alzheimer's disease and there's nothing we can do. We can find things that can reverse it. So it's very important. These are all reversible conditions. In addition to that, the screen asks about advanced directives. Very important because only about 60% of older Americans in Missouri have advanced directives, and you've got to decide what you want to happen to you when things start to go wrong because, you know, maybe you do want to go and spend a lot of time in an ICU. I would hate that. It's terrible and the outcomes are not good, but you have to, ahead of time, make sure that people know what you want. So we're trying to pull this together, and we found that the screenings are very well accepted by most older Americans, and that we can refer people into programs where we can improve their outcomes.
That was going to be my question. Once the screening is done, what happens then?
So there are multiple possibilities. First of all, we have lifestyle sheets that we hand out to people about the things that they can change in their lifestyle, usually things like exercise, socializing, playing computer games, being more active, eating a high-protein diet, things like that. Very simple things that can make a big difference as you go through it. As you know and I know, doing exercise 3 or 4 times a week, even if it's just a quick walk, makes a huge difference as we get older. And if we don't do that, we don't do as well. So talking to people, and when you show somebody, look, objectively on this, the way you answered these questions, this is your opinion of you, not our opinion, you're not doing well, we can use that to encourage people to do things that are good for them. But we can also refer people in to other things. At St. Louis University, we've now opened an annual wellness visit because only 16% of Americans over 65 are taking opportunity of this. This is a Medicare benefit that you don't have any copay, so it's free to you to come and have. And basically, using that, we can go a little further and refer someone who's got problems to the appropriate geriatrician or other person at St. Louis University.
You have said in the past, in earlier discussions, that cognitive disorders can be treated if discovered early. People worry today about Alzheimer's and dementia, that sort of thing. What sorts of things can be done?
So, first of all, there are a lot of treatable disorders which people tend to forget about. They're drugs. As we get older, we get lots of different conditions, and every physician we see sticks us on another drug. We get polypharmacy. Many of these drugs are anticholinergic. The drugs that are available to treat Alzheimer's and dementia actually try to push the cholinergic system up, not push it down. So instead of giving a drug to push it up, it's a lot easier if you actually just get rid of the drugs that are pushing it down. So one example, people get depressed. If you're depressed, we can fix that. A big one is sleep apnea. We're finding about 1 in 10 people we screen has sleep apnea and is unaware of it. And this is totally treatable by using a CPAP machine. It's a horrible mask. And if we catch you early, you can get used to wearing it. Your brain gets better. If you get it when you're late and you're demented, you won't wear it, and so we never get to reverse it. So we've had great success reversing people with sleep apnea who have memory problems, who are fatigued. These are things we can do. And then in addition to that, there are all the lifestyle things. We've talked before, I think, about Mediterranean diet and that wonderful extra virgin olive oil. I'm still trying to work out who the extra virgin is. But nevertheless, it fixes the oxidative damage in the brain and makes a difference. Exercise makes a difference to the brain. It gets more oxygen to the brain. If you keep your brain active, it makes a difference. These are all great things that are out there that can slow down the process. And in the Finnish geriatric study, the FinGER study, they actually showed that if you put all these together, there is a marked decline in the rate at which you lose your memory as you get older. This is important, and we can make big differences.
You know, we often say when people, as they age, the aches and pains that come along, the eyesight begins to fail, hearing, and that sort of thing. And we say, well, this person is just getting older. But what is actually happening? Are the parts just wearing out? Is it that simple?
Well, some of it is wearing out. Some of it is oxidative damage, which is the extra virgin olive oil can fix that. Some of it are things like we get a little more wax in our ears as we get older. And for a long time, we've had our medical students go through the nursing homes we work in the summer when they need a job over the summer. And they come in and they basically take the wax out of the ears, and they can improve memory by 1.5 points, which is better than any of the drugs we've got for memory. So just cleaning wax out of the ears makes a big difference. In the study we did at the VA with Dulce Cruz Oliver, basically at that time what we showed is over 6 years we could reverse half of the people back to normal who had clear problems with memory just by fixing things like vision, looking for the treatable causes, telling people what to do, fixing the hearing, doing those simple things. I mean, this is lots of fixable things. And they each little ones. So, you know, when you get to a certain age, your problem is that you have 5 or 6 things wrong with you. And you don't realize that as those all add up, that gives you real problems. And if we can fix 2 of them or 3 of them, then the other 3 have a lot longer to go.
Well, how about the notion of choosing your parents well, the genealogical?
Well, you know, to be fair about this, this is usually very useful, but I will point out, as I told my wife when she married me, that I would be dead by about 50 because my dad died at 59. My mom lived a little longer, but not much longer, and I'm now way longer lived than they are. So choosing your parents is good, but there are a lot of things we personally can do to keep ourselves healthy and also that we can get fixed and make sure that we don't get iatrogenesis, things that physicians do that hurt old people. Physicians are not well trained in the care of older people, and they tend to treat older people like 50-year-olds, and that gets you into trouble. And that's why, as you know, we're doing these screenings and looking at these new things, because we've got a computer program that we've developed, used in Perry County, for instance, by the physicians, that allows them to fix these things in older people, recognize and fix them.
But going back to the screenings, by the way, we should point out that they are free screenings that you are offering.
Everything we're offering is free, and we have one exciting screening. We actually have every first Thursday of the month, we have two or three older people who come into our health resource clinic, that's our free clinic, and we have seven different disciplines screening them for everything. This is the ultimate geriatric assessment, and people can get in if they want to get in. Obviously, it's two or three at a time, so if 100 people ask us, it's going to take a year to get in. But it's a great experience. I learn something every time I go to this, because here you're getting the experts from every area. The student sees you, but they see you with a faculty member, and it's a huge difference. So this is what I was taught to do when I started in geriatrics, and I have no time to do anymore. So it's a wonderful opportunity for older people who are really struggling. It's not for somebody who's doing well. If you do the screening and there are no problems, you don't want to come to this. But if you've got problems, this is a good place to get everything sorted out.
We'll have information regarding these screenings and various information concerning all of this on our website at stlpublicradio.org. But I have in my notes here that you have something called a Bringing It Together, an outdoor community health fair for senior adults from 8 to 3 on Friday, May 26th in the Muni Opera Pavilion of Forest Park.
Yeah, that's been going for 27 years, but we're going to be screening there. And then we have a follow-up screening at St. Louis University on June the 16th. Then alternatively, people can go to the Medicare annual wellness visit and book that, and or they can come to what I think is the best thing. If you've got an older relative who's really struggling, if you can get them into our student screening, they're not going to do better than they're going to do anywhere in the world with what we're being able to do there.
Getting back to the situation faced by many older people is many are just resigned to the fact that they're old, and they're getting old, and then that death might be near, and just kind of sit around and wait for that to happen. What's your best advice?
Well, the way I look at it, and I think I've said this to you before, is there's one certain fact in life. If you're a Cro-Magnon man, a Neanderthal man, or a space person, there's one only certainty. That's you've got 100% chance of dying. We all know that's going to happen. That should be a glorious moment after a glorious life. So why would we stop doing things and having fun until it happens? God decides when we're going to die, not you or I or anybody else. And so therefore, we should enjoy life to the ultimate, because there's no point in being miserable when you know that in the end you're going to die. You might as well be happy until that moment and be happy when it happens, because that's a great part of your life.
And it's a great adjustment, because most of us go through life fearing death.
I think that's true, and you know that's why we're so interested in the advanced directives, helping people understand that there are things we can do. We've got a really good palliative care program at St. Louis University now that can look after people and help them plan when things are starting to go wrong at the end of their life. It is so important to be able to plan, make sure that you're not going to have pain, but that you can enjoy life. You can still have all the interactions you want, and you don't just sit at home or lie in a bed and don't do anything, because I'm totally convinced that if you get up to the angel Gabriel and you've done this, he's going to look at you and say, you didn't listen to Dr. Morley on public radio, and this is your problem. You've got to keep active.
A lot of people think a will is all they need.
We need a lot more, and we need to know what we want, and our relatives need to know what we want.
We are talking with Dr. John Morley, Director of Geriatrics at St. Louis University School of Medicine. Back to continue the conversation, and if you'd like to be a part of it, if you have questions you'd like to raise with regard to aging or your own situation, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk at stlpublicradio.org or a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Dr. John Morley. What about people who live alone, older people who live alone? What sort of advice do you have for them? It's a different ballgame entirely for them.
it's not good to live alone because you lose socialization. Lots of people are afraid of going into a senior center or into a nursing home, but actually, if you live alone, you're often better off going somewhere where there are other people you can socialize with. The minimum you should do if you're living alone is go to a senior center on a regular basis so you can get and meet with other people. You can't not do this. Going to church on Sunday is so important if you're living alone, and church offers multiple things people can do. There are lots and lots of things you can do. Driving becomes a problem as you get older, but there is free transport still available for a while, at least in St. Louis, and making use of the OATS transport and other transport vehicles is so important. But remember also, you can ask your people at your church or at your synagogue or your mosque to help you, and people like to help people. They like to visit older people, and so all of this is so important, and it's just that people tend to want to think, well, I'm not good anymore because I'm old, but you're the most wonderful person you've ever been when you're old because you've spent your whole life getting this wonderful knowledge, and you can impart and help all the young people around you with the things you've learned that they've yet to learn.
You mentioned driving, and that is a toughie. To give up that independence is very difficult. Do you have any advice for the offspring of the woman or the man who has to have the car taken away?
Yes. Well, my first advice is please don't bring them to me to tell them, because if I want to be truly hated, it's when I tell people that they've got to give up. But that's one way you go to the physician.
Do they actually do that, ask you to make that announcement to
them? They come
to
me, and I am left to say to the older person, I'm sorry, but your scores are such that I've got to report you to the Department of Motor Vehicles, or you can give up driving. And then I have a conversation where I point out you don't want to lose your license. You don't want to give up your license. So if you give up driving, I don't have to report you if you're not driving to the Department of Motor Vehicles. And that makes a huge difference. It's one way to do it, but it never makes anybody happy. But keeping that license is really important. There are lots of ways you can disable a car and leave the car there. And I'm not allowed to tell people to do this because, you know, as a physician, I'm the advocate for the older person. But if somebody happens to hear this today, disable the car. It's so much better than having the car accident and having to go through that.
This is one of the toughest things that does happen to older people.
In the United States, or most of the United States, it's really hard to get around. We are a car-driven society. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's one of the toughest things because you feel as if you've lost your ability to be part of society. We all drive, many of us very badly through our life, and then we get told that we've driven really well most of our life and now we can't drive anymore.
Well, I wonder if the autonomous car is going to change this at all.
Well, I can't wait for my Google car. I've actually ridden in one car in Singapore that was autonomous. It's wonderful. You don't have to worry about the driver anymore. It's so nice. And I think this is a great future for older people. It's going to make it much easier. And the fact that things like Uber, by the way, which, you know, I know it's a plus minus from taxi drivers, and I use lots of taxi drivers, and we talk about it. But having somebody who'll come and pick you up and take you places, that's a good way to get around these days. And Uber, Lyft, and these other things are helping people do it. And they're all going to be autonomous cars in a short time.
Apparently, it's going to be happening very, very quickly. I know you're a great advocate of exercise and nutrition for the proper nutrition for older people. We have a caller here. Bill joins us, and I think he wants to talk about exercise. So let's bring him in. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Well, first, I just welcome the opportunity to sing Dr. Morley's praises. He's kept me together for 5 or 10 years, and we lock horns a little bit. I'm usually wrong, but to give a quick example of how smart he is, I had the flu a couple years ago, and I wanted Tamiflu, and he wouldn't give it to me, even though I'm older, 72, I was 71 or 70. He said, "You're too healthy," and he sent me the link, and he was right. So I just really appreciated his care. The thing I wanted, and recommend people make use of SLU's program, the thing I wanted to mention about exercise is when I turned 70, one of my promises to myself is I didn't have to do intervals in the pool anymore if I didn't want to. But in yesterday's New York Times, they had an article on the benefits of exercise for aging, and they mentioned that of all the alternatives, interval training is the best one. So I'm stuck with my intervals, and so all might other people.
Let's find out about interval training. What is interval training?
Well, unlike Bull, who I know, it worked out who you are, Bull, I wouldn't dream of doing interval training. It's far too hard for me. But doing some exercise, and it turns out that the more burst-like exercise you do, the better you do. So whether you run quickly up a flight of stairs, that is better than running just more slowly for a longer distance. So interval training, very similar type of idea, and it's very exciting that you are still doing these things and keeping yourself active, though I know that there are times when you and I don't totally agree on everything.
What is interval training? I'm not familiar with it.
Did we lose Bill? Because
yes, we did lose.
Tell us, Bill, because I'm not certain either.
When you swim, I don't run anymore because of my hip, but I swim 50 yards fast, and then I rest. And then you swim hard or run hard, and then you rest.
So that's the same thing as I was saying.
The studies in a lot of ways show that a minute hard and a minute easy, a minute hard and a minute easy, 10 of those increases strength and speed as much as an hour of just drifting around.
All right, Bill, we've got to leave
and
because time's
right,
a waste.
Thank you.
All right. So it's space between bursts of energy. Let's bring in Juliet from St. Louis with another call.
Hi, Juliet.
Hi, Don. Hi, Dr. Morley.
Hi.
My name is Juliet, and I just wanted to share with you and your listeners that Oasis Institute has many opportunities to help older adults address many of these health issues that you're referring to. We know now with more research, I'm sure you're aware, that social isolation is really one of the, most important health issues that we can address with older adults these days. And a recent study came out showing that it was as negatively impactful, maybe not in the same way, but as negatively impactful for health as smoking like 15 cigarettes a day. And I wanted to just make sure that folks were aware that we have many free health classes and exercise classes in the community, and they should check out what Oasis does.
Thank you.
Thanks, Juliet. Oasis has done a wonderful job since I first arrived in St. Louis, so you guys are to be congratulated.
Does a person living in a rural area as opposed to an urban area have a better chance at longevity?
Yes and no. It depends on where you live. And if you look around the Missouri area, I was just looking at it because of some of the stuff we're doing on grants. But for instance, in Perry County, if you're lucky enough to live there, they are now providing our whole program, including the exercise forever for older people. They're providing the cognitive stimulation therapy. They give better care than you can get anywhere in Missouri. So that's Perry County Hospital. If you live near it, go there, and they will do everything I'm talking about, and most probably better than I can get it done for you.
Our time is winding down, Dr. Morley. As we close, just once again, tell folks what they need to know about what sort of services you're providing in this geriatric world.
So we've got two screenings coming up, one on May the 26th and the other on June the 10th. You can find those on the public radio website. The Medicare annual wellness visit, you can find the number there. It's 977-6055. That you've got a book, you've asked for geriatrics and the medical wellness visit, you'll get in quickly. And then we have our comprehensive geriatric assessment clinic. There's a number there to phone for. You're going to have to book for it because it takes an hour and a half to 2 hours for us to do it. It's a great experience and one of the best experiences I've had. But that is for people who are struggling, not for very healthy people. Lots of exciting things happening. Hopefully, we'll be able to develop more things in the future. And, Don, thank you very much for having us on today.
It's always a great pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Morley, geriatrician and director of geriatrics at St. Louis University School of Medicine. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.